For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You are unmuted.
Thank you. With that, I have no further questions.
All right. All right, Ms. Hartnett, you are all set.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, your next witness, Mr. Lally.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth Comics, Ashley Valair, to the stand.
With the evidence given to the court and jury in the case down here, it should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
So, Mr. Lally, would you remove the... Good afternoon. Would you remove the exhibit that's on the witness stand,
yes,
please?
Sir.
All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury?
My name is Ashley Valair, spelled V-A-L-L-I-E-R.
And Nick Valair, what do you do for work?
I'm a forensic scientist at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory.
All right, so Mix Villar, I'm going to ask you to keep your voice up.
Okay.
What we've been doing is we've had to turn the air conditioning off when we can't hear.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Mr.
And, how long have you been employed at the State Police Crime?
Just over 5 years.
And if I could ask you just a little bit about your educational background, starting with your undergraduate work, where did you go to school for that?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Biochemistry and Cell Biology from University of California, San Diego.
Been shown just
following your receipt of that degree, where did you go from there?
I have a Master of Science degree in Biomedical Forensic Sciences from Boston University.
And once you received that master's, where did you go to work after that?
I worked at the Broad Institute for about 6 months before getting a job at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory.
As far as your work at the Broad Institute, that's located in Cambridge, is that correct?
Correct.
And what type of work did you do at the Broad Institute?
I worked for the Center for the Development of Therapeutics Department, doing quality control checks on compounds that they think could have potential to be therapeutic drugs.
And so you went to work for the Mass State Police Crime Lab, or the MSPCL, in early 2019, is that correct?
Correct.
And when you first went to work for the MSPCL, what unit were you initially assigned to?
The Trace Arson and Explosives Unit.
Is that the unit that you still currently work in?
It is.
And so you started with the lab as a forensic scientist one, is that correct?
Correct.
And so what sort of steps or what kind of training did you go through in order to go from being a forensic scientist one to being a forensic scientist two that you are now?
A forensic scientist one is the initial job that you're hired as. After you've been at the lab for a year and once you're qualified and signed off to do casework, you become a forensic scientist too.
Now, within the TRACE unit, can you describe to the jury sort of what types of things you're looking at or what types of analysis that you do with regard to working in the TRACE unit specifically?
What I do or what the unit does?
First, as far as in general terms, what is a unit?
The unit has a lot of disciplines. So there's fire debris examination, explosives examination, serial number restoration, gunshot residue analysis, fibers, paint, glass, physical match, trace recovery.
And specific to yourself, what is it that you do within the trace?
I do gunshot residue analysis, trace recovery, and physical match analysis.
And as far as each of those respective categories, is those the things that you've done essentially your time there, especially as a forensic scientist too?
Yes.
Now, with regard to as far as the physical match component that you were talking about, can you explain to the jury just again in general terms sort of what goes into that or what are you looking at, what are you doing in regard to your analysis?
Physical match analysis is looking at two or more items that have broken or irregular edges and seeing if they fit together like a sort of like a jigsaw puzzle.
And when you're doing those examination of various items with respect to that, what types of instruments are you using or what types of ways are you looking at these from an instrumental perspective?
It's mostly the stereo zoom microscope, which is a microscope that's mounted on a stand so that it can look at larger objects and not just slides like in science class.
Now, over the course of your work with the lab, you're familiar with the lab is accredited, is that correct?
Correct.
And that's accredited by an organization known as ANAB?
Correct.
And with respect to that accreditation, what if any testing or what if any examinations or continuing education do you have to undergo in order for that accreditation, either for yourself or for the lab itself?
As part of the accreditation, analysts that are signed up to do casework do proficiency tests every year.
And have you done proficiency testing over the course of your 5 years with the lab?
I have.
And specifically, what types of areas have you taken proficiency testing in?
I've taken proficiency tests in gunshot residue analysis and physical match cases.
So with respect to sort of each of the various areas of work that you do within the lab, is that correct?
Except for trace recovery, but yes.
And with respect to each of those, as far as the proficiency testing was concerned, you've successfully completed each of those?
I have.
Now, if I could turn your attention to at some point over the course of your work within the trace unit in the lab, did you become involved with lab case number 22-02184?
I did.
And there's a name that's associated with that lab number as well, is that correct?
A name?
A name as far as a suspect or a defendant or something like that?
Yes.
And whose name is that?
Karen Reed.
And as far as your work within the trace unit, how is it that you came to be involved, or what piece of analysis did you become initially involved in with respect to Ms. Reed's case?
I was assigned to do a physical match analysis on, well, many different items.
Before we get to the physical match, was there something, what if anything were you asked to do with regard to some clothing items associated with the John O'Keefe?
I believe I later received debris that was collected from those clothing items.
And so debris specifically, do you recall which clothing items you received debris from?
I do not, not without looking at my notes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, may the witness look at her notes?
Yes, go right ahead.
And did you remember refresh as to which items of clothing you looked at?
Yes, so it was, well, I didn't look at clothing. I just received the debris that was already packaged. So it was labeled as coming from jeans, boxer shorts, sneakers, a gray long sleeve shirt, and an orange t-shirt.
Now, with respect to each of those items had a lab sort of label number associated with it, is that correct?
Correct.
And is it your understanding that the larger piece of clothing would have been labeled 7-something, and then the debris from that clothing would have been labeled 7-same-thing, point, whatever? Does that sound familiar?
It does, yes.
And so with specific reference to item 7-18.18, that was debris from an orange t-shirt, is that correct?
Yes.
And specifically, I'm sorry, debris from an orange t-shirt and a gray long sleeve shirt, correct?
Correct.
And from your analysis of that debris, what if any examination did you do of that debris that was provided to you within the tracer?
So each of these items was packaged in a fold. And so I opened up the fold and looked at the items under the stereo zoom microscope and documented it with photos.
And as far as that item, 7-18.18, what, if anything, did you observe as far as contained within the debris from that item specifically?
May I look at my notes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. There was apparent dirt debris, many black, gray, blue, and orange apparent fibers, several pieces of red apparent plastic, several apparent hairs, one piece of green material, and one piece of clear apparent plastic.
And the clear apparent plastic, what, if any, measurements did you conduct with reference to that?
It measured approximately 1/8 of an inch by 1/16 an inch of an inch.
Now, from your analysis of those items, what, if anything, do you know where within the lab they went following your analysis there?
I believe another analyst in the trace unit then looked at those items.
And that would be are you familiar with another person who works in the trace unit named Christina Hanley?
I am.
And so what, if any, training does Ms. Hanley have that you do not have in order to conduct that sort of further analysis?
So Christina Hanley is the trace supervisor, and she is signed off to do casework in fibers, miscellaneous paint, glass. I see the other trace disciplines that I am not.
So essentially, those items contained within that debris were something that you examined microscopically, made observations of, took measurements, and then they went to Ms. Hanley?
Correct.
Now, with respect to, you mentioned some, a variety of plastic items that that you examined, correct?
The initial items that I looked at?
Yes.
Yes.
And what were those, generally speaking, what were those initial items that you looked at?
There were many different items containing that I believe were recovered from an address, but I would have to look at my notes to...
Go ahead.
So they were all labeled as coming from, as recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
And what types of items were they specifically that you had received?
So it was many pieces of apparent plastic and apparent glass and one drinking straw.
And those items were generally labeled as items 7-5 through 7-19. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And with reference to the process in general terms of when you receive these items, can you explain to the jury sort of your process and what you did and what you looked at as you went through each of these respective items?
Sure. So for beginning a physical match case, you always look at the questioned items first, which are the ones that you don't know where it came from. Like here, they're labeled as coming from the road, so you don't know where their actual source of origin is. And so what we'll do is we'll scan that item into my custody. And then I will document the packaging with photographs. And then I'll open that item and then document that item as it is. And if there are multiple pieces, each piece will get a designator like piece A, piece B, piece C. All this gets documented, written down in my notes and in photographs. If any of those pieces look like they could possibly fit together, then I will look under the stereo zoom and see if they do, in fact, fit together, and document it if they do. And then once I've finished documenting that, I'll repackage it in the original packaging. And then if there are multiple items, like in this case there were, then once that first item is sealed up, then I'll clean my bench and then I'll open the second item and do the same thing until all of the items have been documented.
And again, if you could describe to the jury sort of the physical process of what you did in this case. With respect to these items, as far as how were you looking at them sort of physically, what did you do with those items?
So like I said, I opened up each of these items individually, took photos, took notes, looked at them under the stereo zoom microscope, and then looked at my photos after I had looked at all of them. They'd all been packaged in their original packaging. And then I looked at the photographs to see if any of those pieces could possibly fit together. And then once I looked at the photos and saw that it looked like there were possible physical match fits among those questioned items, then I opened up those items and looked to see if they, like, in real life versus just on photos, see if they could have a potential physical match. And then if it looked like it did, then I brought them together and looked at that in the stereo zoom to confirm if there was a physical match.
May I approach?
Yes.
I'm showing you a series of 9 photographs. Just ask you to look at those and help me finish. Okay.
Do you recognize those?
Yes.
And what do you recognize those to be?
Item 7-5.
And is that how it was presented to you or shown to you as far as the evidence bag that you opened and the items that were contained within?
I mean, this is just a picture of the seal, not the entire bag, but yes.
Okay. Governor Cuomo will seek to introduce the witness and next exhibits.
No objection.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, may I publish some of these photographs to the jury, please?
Okay.
And Ms. Tillman, if I could have photograph 1905. Explain what's up on the screen is photograph 1905, which has now been marked as exhibit 262. Do you recognize that?
I do.
And is that the evidence back that you were presented with regard to items labeled as 7-5?
That's the seal on it, yes.
Now, just in general terms, as far as this process that you're talking about, sort of fitting the puzzle pieces together, how long and how laborious a process did that entail?
In this case specifically?
Yes.
There were many items to look at, so it did take quite a bit of time.
And if I could have photograph 1908. And do you recognize what's up on the screen, which has now been marked as exhibit 263?
I do.
Is that one of the pieces that you had from item 7-5?
Those are the three pieces in item 7-5.
So three pieces from that were all red, a pair of plastic pieces from that same item, is that correct?
Correct.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Showing you another seven photographs if you can take a look at those. And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
The seal and then the items from item 7-6.
And what's contained in those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed when you were doing your analysis in the lab?
Yes.
Your Honor, I will seek to introduce the minutes and next exhibits. No objection. Thank you.
Exhibits 271 through 277.
Thank you.
And, Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish some of those photographs to the jury at this time.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1921. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just rotate that. So, Nick Valier, what's up on the screen, and it's, that's photograph 1921, exhibit 271. That is the evidence bag or box that contains the items in reference to lab item 7-6, is that correct?
Correct.
And with reference to that, as far as the labeling is concerned, these are items that were submitted by the state police, correct? As far as you know.
Yes.
And from the labeling that's exhibited in labeling that's being shown in Exhibit 271, that actually has an indication of who the submitting agency is and the date that the item was collected, correct?
Presumably, I don't know, because that's not our lab's labeling system.
It's fair to say, as far as your observation of these evidence bags as you were opening them, or boxes as you were opening them, they had different dates on them, on some of them, is that correct?
I don't know. I don't know.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1924. And again, what's up? Now, what's up on the screen that's now been marked as Exhibit 272. These were the items that were marked within that box or that bag of item 7-6. Is that correct?
Correct.
It appears to pieces of clear plastic, correct?
Apparent plastic, yes.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Showing you another series of photographs, if you could review those. Look up when you finish. And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs, ma'am?
I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
The item 7-8.
And again, fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed in the lab with reference to item 7-8.
Yes.
I'll come up and seek to introduce the man today. No objection. Thank you.
278 and 292, Your Honor. Thank you.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, may I publish some of these photos to the jury as well? Now, Ms. Valier, with regard to the items that were contained within these variety of bags or boxes that you had received as evidentiary items, what, if any, difference was there between sort of color, the size, the shape of the different items that you received?
Sorry, well, can you repeat the question?
Sure. Were they all sort of uniform as to their color, as to their size, as to their shape, or what, if any, differences did you know between them?
Between the items that I've already, that we've already published, or just all of them in...
All of them in general.
So some of the pieces were clear apparent plastic, some were clear apparent glass, some of them were red apparent plastic, some of them were silver colored apparent plastic.
And as far as the size of these pieces of plastic or glass that you had received, were they, how would you describe sort of their physical size, shape, things of that nature?
Some of them were very small, and some of them were larger. I can't tell you the dimensions without looking at my notes.
And you took measurements with respect to each of the pieces that you analyzed, each of the pieces that you examined, and each of the pieces that you ultimately tried to find a match for, correct?
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1931. And what's up on the screen is now the bond is exhibit 278. Do you recognize as the bag of box that contains item 7-8?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1934. Now, what's contained in this exhibit up on the screen, number 279, do you recognize that as the contents that were collectively sort of labeled as item 7-8?
I do.
And so from a variety of those different pieces that are depicted up on the screen in exhibits 279, each of them would have been respectively labeled as far as, say, 7-8.1 or 7-8 point something else. Is that fair to say?
So the laboratory numbering system where it goes 7-8.1, that's if you take like a subsample. So if I had collected like debris or something off of this, out of this item, that would then be labeled 7-8.1 because it's a new entry in our LIM system. These are just the different pieces in 7-8. In my notes, I gave them labels as such as piece A, piece B, piece C, all the way down to, well, however many there were.
You labeled them individually as sort of letters, is that correct?
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1938. And if you could zoom just a little bit in on that. And Ms. Blair, what's depicted up on the screen within this exhibit of 282, do you recognize that?
I do.
Is that one of the pieces that was submitted within this as far as 7-8 that you examined throughout the course of your analysis here, correct?
It was. There's actually two pieces in that. There's the large one in the middle, and there's a very small one up in the corner.
Okay.
Paul, we're going to stay in the band session, so when you have them all ready, I'll find that.
The next exhibit is 293, correct?
Thank you. Jesus. You are unmuted.
May I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
You recognize those, ma'am?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
Photos that I took of item 7-10.
May I approach?
Yes.
I'm going to keep introducing you as the next exhibit. Over there. And again, Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish that to the jury.
Okay.
Please come in if I could have photo 1952. And Ms. Blair, what's depicted up on the screen is that the bag of box that contains item 7-10?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1955. Again, what's up on the screen is that the item that was contained within that evidence.
Yes.
Can I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Show you another series of photographs. If you could review those about when we're finished. Ms. Valera, do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
The packaging that item 7-9 and 7-19 came in.
And what's contained within those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of those items when you received them at your station and within the trace unit?
It is.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm going to seek to introduce and admit as the next.
If I could just place these before you, if you could take a look at those while the
Thank you.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, may I publish what's now been marked as 296 through 309 for the jury?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I can have photograph 1958. And again, Ms. Lair, what's up on the screen is that the evidence bag or box that contains those items that you were just testifying about, 7-9 and 7-19.
Yes.
Now, with regard to Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1962. Ms. Lair, with now what's been depicted up on the screen and been marked as exhibit 297, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little bit on items of evidence, please. Now, contained within this are three clear pieces of glass or plastic, if you know.
I'd have to look at my notes to see what I wrote them as.
My other question, Your Honor, with the court's permission, may
yes, go ahead, look at your notes.
And after referring to your notes, what type of material is that?
Three pieces of apparent plastic.
Now, Ms. Gilman, if you could scroll down. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. The item that's contained above those three pieces of apparent clear plastic, what is that?
That is item 7-19. That is a black straw.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1964. Ms. Gilman, and what's up on the screen, Ms. Blair, now, and has been marked as exhibit 299. Is that essentially the straw, an actual ruler with its measurements? Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, with reference to the photographs that I asked you to look at before, have you had a chance to review those?
I have.
And do you recognize what's contained within those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
The photos I took of item 7-11.
And what's contained in those photographs of item 7-11, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed in your lab when you conducted your analysis in reference to this case?
It is.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth seeks to introduce and admit as the next exhibits.
Okay.
Thank you.
It is 310-324.
Thank you.
And Your Honor, with court's permission, if I could publish.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Goodman, if I could have photograph 1979. Again, Ms. Blair, what's up on the screen is that the bag, evidence bag that contains item 7-11?
Yes.
And for the record, that's been marked as exhibit 310. Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1982. And again, Ms. Blair, what's depicted up on the screen on exhibit 311 is that the items or the pieces of plastic that were contained within the aforementioned evidence bag and abuse exhibit item 7-11.
Yes.
Now, with regard to the photographs that I just placed before you before, have you had a chance to review those as well?
I have.
And do you recognize what's contained within those photographs?
Photos of item 7-14.
And what's contained in those photographs of item 7-14, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed in your lab when you conducted your examination in this case?
It is.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'll mm-hmm. seek to introduce in minutes. Exhibit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2009. If I could draw your attention up to the screen just for a moment, what's now been marked as exhibit 325, do you recognize what that is?
I do.
That's a bag that contained item 7-14, is that correct?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2012. And again, Ms. Blair, what's up on the screen is that the item that was contained labeled as item 7-14 within that.
I'm sorry, I need all of these. Yeah.
What's depicted on the screen is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what was contained in the exhibit bag from the previous exhibits labeled as item 7-14.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Were you able to review the bulk of those photographs that I just placed before you?
Yes.
And do you recognize those?
Yes.
And what do you recognize those to be?
The photos of item 7-12.
If I could have... Excuse me, ask those be marked as the next exhibits from the next exhibits.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Gilman, if I could have a photograph 2015. Ms. Blair, if I could direct your attention up to the screen, what's contained and what's been marked now is exhibit 328. Those, the evidence pack that contained the items labeled as 7-12.
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2018.
Ms. Valera, directing your attention up to the screen, what's now been marked as Exhibit 329. Those are the items that were labeled collectively as 7-12 that were contained within that evidence back from the prior exhibit.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as far as those photographs that I presented to you a moment ago, have you had a chance to review those as well?
I have.
And do you recognize what's contained within those photographs?
I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
The photos of item 7-13.
And what's contained within those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what was contained or labeled as item 7-13?
It is.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Commonwealth seeks to introduce the witness and next.
It's 343
through
351.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Kilman, if I could have photograph 1997. And Ms. Blair, what's depicted on the screen in that photograph, which now been marked as exhibit 343, is that the evidence bag that contained the items labeled as 7-13?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2000. And Ms. Blair, directing your attention to the screen, those are the items contained within that exhibit bag from prior exhibits that have been collectively labeled by the lab as 7-13.
Yes.
Now, as far as the photographs that I placed before you, have you had a chance to review those?
I have.
And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
Photos of item 7-15.
And what's contained in those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what was contained in item 7-15?
It is.
Okay. Your Honor, call to seek to introduce the witness.
No objection.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Madam Court Reporter. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Lally, those are the last exhibits we'll be doing today.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
I'm assuming if I can have photograph 2072. Thanks, Blair. If I could direct your attention to the screen, you recognize this as the evidence bag that contains item 7-15 that's now been marked as exhibit 352.
I do.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2077. Again, Ms. Blair, what's up on the screen are those the items that were collectively identified by the lab as item 7-15 from that evidence bag contained in the prior exhibit?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, thanks for later. As far as your analysis was concerned with regard to each of these items, and we'll get to that a little bit, I think, the next time. But with regard to the labels that you assigned to them as far as letters of the alphabet, A through whatever letter that you went, when you were conducting your sort of physical match analysis, how was that shown on a particular piece, or did you label those pieces, or how were you able to sort of quantify that?
The pieces that were large enough to, I printed out labels from a label maker with the lab number, the item number, and then the piece that the letter that I assigned it, so ABC, and my initials, and those are on the pieces.
And then as far as those pieces were concerned, if you were able to find some consistency between, say, piece A and piece B, and you were able to sort of fit them together, what, if anything, did you do to memorialize that sort of physical match?
Within the same item, if there were two pieces that fit together, I documented that with photos, wrote down my notes, and then if it was within the same item, I held it together with tape and then repackaged it still together as a single piece.
And as far as these consistencies or the matches that you were examining or looking for, was that solely within piece to piece, or at some point did you also look at sort of a larger piece as far as a housing unit for a tailor?
For this case?
Yes.
Yes.
And with regard to pieces that you had sort of put together, what, if anything, were you able to do with regard to some of those pieces and the taillight housing, item 3-1?
From those items that we just saw, I was able to piece one larger piece with many of those pieces all fit together into one piece that I then called piece one. There were some other pieces that also fit together among those question ones that I called pieces two, piece three, piece four, and piece five. Piece one was a physical match with item 3-1, the taillight.
Your Honor, I think that may
okay.
be wrong.
All right, so, Mix Valera, we're going to have you back on Wednesday.
Okay,
but I'm going to ask you to wait the jurors. So we don't meet tomorrow, we'll meet Wednesday, and we'll go a full day Wednesday with an abbreviated lunch and sometime between 4 and 4:30. So please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into the case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about the case, please disregard it. I know we took a long time today with getting exhibits in before you, but it's a very important part of the case, and it does just take some time, so we appreciate your patience. All right, we'll see you on Wednesday.
You are muted.
Do you need me to contact somebody?
Thank you, maybe see your photo still in a second.
So you are all set, you can go.
So I was just talking to Mix Valera about whether I needed to call Lawrence court for her or not. So
you are all set.
Thank you very much. All right. You don't need me for anything until Wednesday. We'll see you Wednesday.
Court, all rise.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
Coach.
Okay.
We're offering.
So we'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.